Our daily Calgary Flames roundtable. We'll start by looking back on last night, though, gentlemen. The Flames finished this series 1-2-1 with the Los Angeles Kings in four regular season meetings. Wilsey, for you, your observations. Why have the Kings been such a tough out for the Flames this year?
Well, to be completely honest, I think they've played down to their competition, really, in all four of the games. I mean, I know the Flames won one of them, but I didn't think they were great in that game. And last night didn't look like they were emotionally engaged in the first period. I think they got better as the game went on, were better in the second than they were in the first, were better in the third than they were in the second. But you either have to be emotionally engaged or you have to execute at a higher level. But if you don't do either of those things, I don't like your chances to beat any of the other 30 teams in this league. So, you know, the Flames did some good things last night, but made way too many mistakes against a Kings team that doesn't have a lot of talent, but they do have some pretty good work ethic. So tough loss to swallow for sure.
Well, they had the best center in the game, the best defenseman in the game, and their role players looked better than the Flames last night. It's been a nightmare of a matchup for the Flames because the Kings have worked really hard and they have a structural identity and a game plan. They take six of a possible 8 points against the Flames, and I would chalk that up to the Kings wanting those 8 points more than the Flames. It's rather simple, Pat, but it's hard to deny which teams worked a lot harder in this season series.
Well, and I think, and this is not an excuse at all, but I wonder, guys, about this, the way the Kings play and how frustrating they can be to generate offense, and knowing that this Flames team has not shown a big-time commitment, even though I know it's the way that the coaching staff wants them to play. This team has not shown a big-time commitment to, you know, being in on the cycle and generating offense that way, especially, you know, guys like Gaudreau and Monahan seem more apt to prefer scoring when it comes to the rush and scoring in that regard. Kings don't allow a lot of rush chances. They really don't. They're a tough team to get to the neutral zone on. They're a tough team to enter the zone on. You've got to be more methodical and more, you know, kind of a less exciting way is the way you beat the LA Kings right now. And I just didn't seem like the Flames were overly interested in playing that way last night and for most of this series. So that would be the only other theory that I would add as to why the Kings have been such kryptonite for Calgary in this year's season series.
Every season, there is usually one or two teams in the league that can be kryptonite, even for good teams. And clearly the Kings have been one of the teams, if not the one team that has been the Flames kryptonite this season. But I actually think that the Flames can learn a thing or two from the Kings. The Kings, again, they don't have a lot of talent. They're clearly in a rebuild right now. They have some highly skilled players. Andre Kopitar is still one of the best two-way centermen in the league. Drew Doughty's still one of the best defensemen in the league, but not a lot of talent, certainly not as much as the Flames have. But they're a team that does a really good job getting pucks to the net. They went into last night's game third in the NHL in shots per game, and they have to play that way because they had the lowest shooting percentage in the league going into last night's game. So they're a team that really, they need a lot of shots and a lot of chances to score goals. They had scored two or fewer goals, I hope I get this number right, but I believe in 33 games prior to last night. Just think about that for a second. It's hard to win in this league if you're not scoring at least three. And they, I believe, it scored two or fewer goals 33 times this season. So that makes it pretty tough to win. But the Kings do work hard for Todd McClellan. And I think the same can be said for the Ducks under Dallas Eakins. So I think the Ducks are probably a little bit more skilled than the Kings are with where they're at in their rebuild. But again, you're going to have to work hard as your opponent. And if the Flames do that against the Ducks tonight, I like their chances to come back to Calgary with 6 of 8 points.
Well, let's roll into that. Derek Wills with us from California. Derek is there for the Flames and the Anaheim Ducks tonight at 8 o'clock. It's Pat Steinberg and Ryan Pinder back here in our Basement Systems downtown studio. The Flames had played some pretty uninspiring games and had lost three in a row. Then they start off this road trip with back-to-back 6-2 wins, and then a less impressive game against the LA Kings, and they lose 5-3 last night. I'll be perfectly honest with you, gentlemen. I have no idea what to expect tonight, and it's kind of a silly guessing game for me at this point, but you're there, Mr. Wills. Do you have a better idea as to what to expect from this group tonight?
I wish I could give you a really insightful answer here, Pat, but we're 58 games into the season. the Flames are who they are, at least to this point. Doesn't mean they can't change moving forward, but they've been Jekyll and Hyde all season. You know, and I think this road trip is a perfect example of that. Two steps forward, one step back. I mean, of the three games they played on this road trip, the game they lost 5-3 to the Kings last night looked like the most winnable one. I mean, they beat the division-leading Canucks 6-2 in Vancouver on Saturday, and then knock off a still pretty talented Sharks team 6-2 in San Jose on Monday, and then lose to the last-place team of the Pacific Division and Western Conference, and a team that's ahead of only the Red Wings in the NHL's overall standings last night. So it's been hard to figure this team out this season. I think they do know that they're going to have to be way more engaged from the drop of the puck in this game against the Ducks. And we heard a lot about that from coaches and players today. And they're going to have to execute at a higher level. They're going to have to limit the mistakes that they make, because it feels like with this team, every time they make a mistake, the puck ends up in the back of their net. But ultimately, it's up to the players. You know, what do you want? Because the management group and the coaching staff can only do so much. The players have to go out there and they have to win hockey games. And they have to be willing to do what it takes to win hockey games at this time of the year. And that's get out of their comfort zone. And they did that against the Canucks on Saturday. So you see that from the Flames and you think to yourself, this is what they could be. But they need to be that consistently. I think they took a step back, even though they won by that same score of 6-2 versus the Sharks. A little looser defensively in that game than they were against the Canucks a couple of nights earlier. So if they can play like Saturday, they might win tonight.
It's crazy. After that Battle of Alberta, they're looking at six games. One against a playoff opponent. 5 of 6 in division. And they start out losing the final 2 of 3 on a homestand. They get 2 6-2 wins. They lose another. They've lost 4 of 6. I mean, if you know what's coming around the corner with this group, my goodness, you should own an island somewhere and not have to work another day in your life, because it's impossible. You have no idea what you're going to get from these guys, and that is their identity at this point. If you're wondering what the identity of Calgary Flames is, it's a group you never know what you're getting from.
Right. Well, it's fun. I don't remember what game we were talking about, but it was either the San Jose or the Nashville game at home, and I remember coming in and basically on this same segment, I was like, well, I would be equally as surprised if they win a game by a 5-1 score or lose a game by a 3-1 score. I think it was the Sharks game at home on the 4th of February we were talking about it. Like, neither would surprise me, because I don't know what you're going to get from this group on any given night. And you know, if we were to be sitting here talking tomorrow about the Flames having an impressive bounce-back performance and coming out and really taking it to the Ducks and taking a 2-0 victory where they were better start to finish, that's not going to shock me. The same way if they're, you know, pretty listless and they end up losing another game to a non-playoff team, that's not going to surprise me either. That's been the infuriating nature of the Calgary Flames this season, where ever since that 7-game win streak and ever since that big win in Edmonton on December 27th, this has been an average team at best. Like, I can just as easily see a great performance tonight as I can another very frustrating, infuriating one.
Yeah, being around the guys this morning, I'd be surprised if they weren't better against the Ducks tonight than they were against the Kings last night. Will that be good enough? We'll have to wait and see. Now, we have to remind ourselves, the Flames are without 2 of their top 4 defensemen.
For sure.
And I thought that third pairing really struggled last night. So they make a change there. Brandon Davidson goes back in, and after making his NHL debut last night, Alex Yellison comes out. But we'll see. This is a big game for me, guys. And I know it's only one game of 82, but the Flames can come home with 6 of 8 points on this road trip. And that's what I said they needed to get before it started. But if they're not significantly better in their emotional engagement and their execution level tonight than they were last night, coming home with 4 out of 8 after you won the first 2 games of the trip, and what appeared to be the hardest 2 games of the trip,
right,
that would leave a bad taste in my mouth, and probably the managers and coaches and players as well. So this feels like an important game tonight.
I'll say this, like, if they are to come home with 6 of 8, I think it's pretty, I think you can be a little bit less angry about what you saw last night in Los Angeles, because you're like, okay, for sure. The body of work over the trip has been good.
Well, it's a back-to-back. That's not easy. You don't take four out of a back-to-back on the road very often in this league, no matter who you are.
Exactly.
But that they haven't done it yet. So that means they've got to earn those 2 points tonight. So we shall see. By the way, if they do go 3 of 4 on this road trip, it still means they've only got 3 wins in their last 7. But, I mean, this is what happens when you lose 3 in a row at home, is it puts you in a spot where all of a sudden your expectations are you got to do a lot better in the games that follow, right?
Yep. Derek was with us. Oh, sorry,
go ahead. Coaches and players today made a very good point. You can't do anything about what happened last night. Last night is last night. You got to put it behind you. You can't do anything about what happened going 0-for-3 on the homestand. All you can do is control what's in front of you. So go beat the Ducks tonight and stay overnight in Anaheim, feel good about yourself, go home and try to beat the Blackhawks on Saturday. That has to be the Flames' focus right now, one game at a time.
From Anaheim is Derek Wills. Pinder and Steinberg back here in our Basement Systems downtown studio. Final topic on our Daily Flames roundtable. Cam Talbot gets the starting net. Not a surprise there on the second half of a back-to-back. But so the last 3 starts prior to tonight have come on January 11th, January 28th, and February 6th. That's 17 days, including a long break. I understand that. But that's 17 days, 9 days, and 7 days between starts. We're sitting, he's sitting at a .918 save percentage. Is there a case to be made in your eyes, Mr. Wills, that the Flames could be giving Talbot more work here?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, he's only started 2 of the last 11 games and played in 3 of the last 11 games. And prior to that, it was more of a 50-50 split for a while. So I think they can lean on Cam Talbot more. I do wonder if there's maybe something in his game that they don't love right now, because I think that's really the only way to really explain why David Riddick's been getting the lion's share of the starts when Cam Talbot has better numbers. But when you look at Talbot's splits this season, so in his first 7 games, 1-5-0, not all his fault, by the way, he was getting very little run support, but a 3.23 goals against average and an .893 save percentage. So part of it was on the team, and yes, part of it was on the goaltender. But in his last 12 games, 6-3-1 with a 2.43 goals against average and a .931 save percentage. I mean, those are starters numbers, good starters numbers in the NHL. He's not the number one guy for this team, but I think he can be the 1B to David Riddick being the 1A. I really do. I'm confident with Cam Talbot in net. I think his teammates feel the same way, and we'll see how he does in a game against the Ducks tonight. And if I remember correctly, he was pretty darn good in game one of the season series between these two teams.
I think they shouldn't be hesitant to use him a little more. Where are the spots for that? Well, they just came out of a spot. I mean, stretching back to that home game against San Jose, this group played, what, 6 games, 7 games in 10, 11 days? That could have been a 4-3 split. It wasn't. And that's a little confusing, to be honest, in the sense that he's playing well, and it's a busy portion of the schedule. So, like, what more are you looking for? If you are looking for more of a split in platoon, which they talked about all offseason.
Yeah, it's strange to me, because there have been spots where you're like, okay, well, this seems like a good time to go to Talbot. Like, for instance, at the end of that road trip before the break, you're like, so he's going to go 17 days without games? You could have got him one there, especially knowing that Riddick was going to go play in the All-Star game. That seemed like an odd spot.
That was a really, Ottawa was a perfect spot to go to him after a really heavy workload for Riddick in Toronto, 100%.
And he's been used as a strict backup ever since the All-Star break too. I mean, here he is, the starts on the second half of back-to-back. That's when you use a backup. I'm not saying that Talbot is all of a sudden equal to Riddick, and this is a traditional no questions asked tandem, but I do think this can be more of a 1A, 1B than a strict 1-2, and it has been a 1-2 essentially for all the calendar year 2020, at least for most of it, which is a bit of a head scratcher, because I'm with you, Derek. I think that all year I've had really very few issues with Talbot's game, but especially of late, since about mid-December, he's been playing some really good hockey. So yeah, it is a bit head-scratching that they've been using him as sparingly as they have.
I hesitate to question coaches' decisions on things like this, because they always have more information than we do.
For sure.
Maybe he's a little banged up. We don't know. So It's a good question. I think it's a question that somebody should probably ask Jeff Ward or Jordan Sigalette. And if we don't get around to that before or after tonight's game, then we can certainly do it once the Flames return to Calgary. But looking forward to seeing Cam in net tonight. And it should be, I think, a good hockey game. The Ducks are a little different than they used to be. You know, the Flames have only won two of their last 30 games at Honda Center. Haven't won back-to-back games in this building since January 17th of 1996 and October 27th of 1996. So after taking game one of the season series, they can do that. Doesn't happen that often, so it'd be pretty special. But it's going to be an interesting night. I'm going to leave you guys with this, and I'm sure you've played some audio. Really strange feeling around the rink this morning. When I went over for the Ducks morning skate, of course, with it being a back-to-back for the Flames, they didn't go to the rink and just had team meetings and media availability here. But with what happened here with Jay Bouwmeester a couple of nights ago, and he's literally across the street from us right now at the UC Irvine Medical Center. But what happened with him really has shaken, obviously, the Blues, but the Ducks as well, because, you know, they were there and they were just as concerned as everybody else. And, you know, I got to give the medical staffs from both the Blues and the Ducks, who responded so quickly and potentially saved Jay's life, just so much credit. They spent a lot of time practicing in case something like that happens. And quite often you'll go through a decades long career and nothing like that will happen. But they were clearly ready to go. And I give them tons and tons of credit for what they were able to do and how quickly they were able to do it the other night. But, you know, the coaches and the players still seemed a little bit rattled to me. And Dallas Eakin said that when he met with the team this morning, he wanted to address what happened in that game against the Blues that got postponed, and knew his players were still thinking about it and still worried about Jay. So I'm anxious to see how the Ducks look tonight, because they obviously postponed that hockey game, and it was the absolute right thing to do, not only for the Blues, but for the Ducks as well. But I think they're looking forward to getting back to playing hockey and maybe getting their minds off what happened to Jay Bouwmeester a few nights ago. So we'll see how they look tonight, and we'll see how the Flames look, and cross our fingers and hope to get a good hockey game here in Anaheim.
Puck drops at 8 o'clock Calgary time. We will hear from you again then, Mr. Wills. Thank you very much.
Okay, guys. Have a good day.